Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
If you're going to put on a show, you've got to start with the overture. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today we revisit a great afternoon in the green space from earlier this year. A bit later, we'll hear the indie rocker Sharon Van Etten and her band performing for our green space audience. But we'll begin with this overture, which is from Porgy and Bess, the musical by George and Ira Gershwin and the writer DuBose Hayward. The Broadway revival recently received 10 Tony nominations, including nods for the two veteran actors who star as Porgy and Bess. That's Norm Lewis and Audra McDonald. When they joined us in the green space a week after the show officially opened, they got quite a cheer. Audra, let me start with you.
Okay.
You've recorded Gershwin before.
Yes.
I mean, have you always wanted to play Bess?
Yes, but not until now. I didn't feel I was old enough or had suffered enough or, you know, I felt like I needed more experience before I was ready to sort of tackle her because she's such a difficult role.
Well, and she is, shall we say, an experienced woman.
She's got a lot going on. I mean, I haven't gone out and done drugs to research her, but, you know, just in terms of just her emotional life is pretty complex.
Mm-hmm.
So I just didn't feel that I was ready until now. And I still don't feel like I'm ready, but now or never, because after now I'll be too old and tired.
And it's not necessarily the Porgy and Bess, the full, you know, four-hour operatic vision of Porgy and Bess. This is a Broadway version. It clocks in at a trim 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Is it the same role that you have been looking forward to playing for so long?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the journey is still the same. You know, the story is still the same. I think... For us, I mean, I don't want to speak for Norm, but it feels like...
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I'll talk for him. Why not? It feels like because we've put it on the Broadway stage and because we're approaching it as more of a musical theater piece than necessarily an operatic piece, we've spent a lot of time really digging into the characters and going back to the book to get mm-hmm. specific information about them and learning as much about these characters as we possibly can. And... really just trying to focus on as much as we can on who these people are, you know.
Well, now, Bess is, as we say, a complex character. Norm, what about Porgy? What are the challenges of taking on this role?
Well, for me, I've never really thought about doing the role before because it was always seen on the operatic stage, and I'm not an opera singer. So it was an honor to even be thought of for this Broadway production. The challenges for me... and for us going through this was, you know, should we put him on the cart? Should we not put him on the cart? I know that's an iconic thing.
For folks who haven't actually seen a traditional production, he's
usually on a cart.
A goat cart.
And he wheels around on stage. But, you know, we've talked to a lot of people who actually have done the opera, and they refuse to get on their knees to do this because it is very difficult. And we're doing it 8 times a week.
That's
so
right.
We wanted to... you know, bring him up on his feet, still very much of a cripple and, mm-hmm. and you know, authentically crippled. But I think it gives him a little bit more power, a little more oomph to woo Bess.
One, at the same time, you see him really struggling with his handicap, his physical challenge. It's hard for us. We're trying to use the right politically correct word, but because in the show, night after night, Porgy is called a cripple, and that's how we refer to him. So we don't mean to offend, but it's just that's what we're used to calling him in the show. So
we don't
mean to offend, but you see him struggling with this disability on a, you know, daily basis, and in some ways, I think it can read as more powerful because you don't just see him rolling around; you see him actually having to get up and move his leg into a spot where he can sit. And you know,
up and down stairs and things like that, and Bess having to help me, and actually that helps develop our relationship as well. So.
Yeah.
And Porgy, you know, spending whatever money he can cobble together to get a brace for his leg so he can walk like, you know. I think that the phrase is a real man for Bess.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that surprised me was, it's probably in the original, I'm not entirely sure, but the song I Got Plenty of Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing means something.
Absolutely.
When he starts singing that song, which I, you know, we think of this as like this very kind of, you know, breezy, family-friendly kind of song about, you know, all right, I don't have a lot of money, but that's okay. But, you know, this is coming on the heels of someone, Bess has moved in with Porgy, and the folks there on Catfish Row are saying, what you been up to with that girl? And he says, nothing.
Yeah, we're getting
at
physical.
At which point he breaks into, I got plenty of nothing.
Yeah, but that, I mean, that's not exactly the entire song. And then he becomes he becomes a little bit more philosophical about, you know, thinking about, you know, like you said before, it is, like we always say, when something is good, we say bad. Oh, yeah, man, that was bad. So we look at the opposite of it.
Well, you know, just to say there is a real physicality to the story and to the performance that both of you bring. Porgy and Bess, the Gershwin's Porgy and Bess, the official title, is running now at the Richard Rogers Theater on West 46th Street. We're speaking with Audra McDonald and Norm Lewis, who are Bess and Porgy, respectively. You want to sing something from the show for us?
We'll try.
Yes. Yes, let's do it.
All right. It's a little earlier than we normally sing this stuff.
Bess, You Is My Woman Now, from Gershwin's Porgy and Bess, live from the Green Space.
Bess. You is my woman now. You is, and you must laugh and sing and dance for two instead of one. One, no wrinkle on your brow, no how, because the sorrow of the past is all done, done. Oh, Bess, my Bess, the real happiness is just begun.
Porgy, as your woman now, I is, and I ain't never going nowhere unless you share the fun. There's no wrinkle on my brow, no harm, 'cause I ain't going. You hear me saying, if you ain't going with you, I'm
summertime and wintertime. Bess, you got your man.
Bess,
you is my woman now and forever. This life is just begun.
the time and when the time. I'm telling you, I keep this vow. Oh, my blessed, we's happy now. We's one now.
Norm Lewis as Porgy, Audra McDonald as Bess, Paul Massey as the orchestra on our piano. It's Soundcheck live from the Green Space. And Bess, you is my woman now. One of a couple of performances from the show, the Gershwin's Porgy and Bess, that we're hearing on Soundcheck today. After... you know, a series of previews and performances in Cambridge, was it the American Repertory Theatre?
Yes, yes.
To some controversy, you know, Stephen Sondheim got involved. There have been some changes, some of which have been rechanged back. But Audra, you had an interesting take on this in one of the newspapers, that it shows the fact that people are talking about this so much.
Oh, sure.
What it means to people.
I'd rather they be talking about Porgy and Bess and Gershwin than, you know, Kim Kardashian. I mean, no offense to Kim Kardashian, but I mean, it means theater, and people who love theater is alive and well. And Porgy and Bess has always endured controversy from the very beginning. And, you know, people scream and yell about the fact that we're not doing the original 4.5-hour version. And to that, we say there have been so many versions. And the version that when Gershwin passed away, the version that existed was one that was less than that. He cut 45 minutes from the show. So the one that's been restored from Houston Grand Opera on is not the one that, quote-unquote, Gershwin's, you know, sanctioned. There's been many versions.
There's no Urtext.
No, there really isn't. And yeah. And we're not taking away any of the versions. We're just adding another version.
Right.
That's
yeah.
all.
Now, I mean, the fact that Porgy and Bess has been steeped in controversy from day one, what is the kind of enduring importance of this opera for us as Americans, and maybe even, Norm, more specifically for the African-American community?
Well, it's America's opera. I mean, it was used as an ambassador opera to take to different countries back
Moscow,
in the 50s.
Russia, yeah.
And it's an observation of what these people were at that time by these two Caucasian men. Or that particular, you know, DuBose Haywood, that mm-hmm. Caucasian man. Mm-hmm. And now this is a chance for us.
He wrote the book.
DuBose Haywood wrote the book.
And
right.
then also was very involved in with writing the opera.
With George and
Absolutely.
Ira.
Absolutely, yeah.
And now this is a chance for us, and with Susan Laurie Parks and Deidre Murray involved, and also Ron K. Brown, who's our choreographer, it gives us a chance to, you know, bring what we as African Americans know about our culture and our people. I mean, you know, Sidney Poitier has publicly said that he didn't even want to be associated with doing the movie. He had to fulfill a contract.
Yeah.
So, there's like you said, it's been a lot of controversy around it for years, whether it's an opera, whether it's an operetta, whether it's a musical theater piece or whatever. We're just trying to make something a little bit more accessible. We've had so many people who have never seen it mm-hmm. and come, and I think that's basically been a lot of our audiences.
Like 75% of the audience has never seen it.
They
all know the music,
yeah.
the album, but they've not actually seen it in
right.
a production ever before.
And even some people who are the opera buffs, who know this opera inside and out, have come up and said, oh my God, I had no idea what this story was. They know
the
music, but they didn't know the story.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You know, watching this incredible cast in 2012, and thinking back to the year 1936,
yeah.
and this pair of, you know, white Americans mm-hmm. writing this opera in 1935 for mm-hmm. a 36 production with a virtually all black cast.
Mm-hmm.
What, not only just the courage of doing that, but Gershwin must have known
Absolutely. There were singers out there
mm-hmm.
who were capable of doing this and who probably didn't have much else in the way of musical opportunity.
No, I mean, you know, he went and hunted down Anne Brown at the Juilliard School, actually, and, you know, and Todd Duncan. And what I love about what Gershwin did was he said, Al Jolson originally went to Gershwin and said, I want to do this in blackface. And he said, no. And thank goodness, thank goodness, Porgy and Bess would have a much different history or legacy right now. Yeah. You know,
you want to talk controversy.
Yeah, if Al Jolson had, gotten his wish. And, lots of things happen as a result. There's a very famous story of the fact that the National Theater in Washington, D.C. was desegregated for the first time ever because Todd Duncan refused to play unless they would desegregate the house.
From the original cast.
This is the original Porgy. And he refused, and he was threatened, and they said, no, we will not play unless you desegregate this house. And after a lot of negotiations, they did. So this opera has brought about a lot of change in many different ways.
Mm-hmm. We're talking, of course, about the Gershwin's Porgy and Bess. Audra McDonald and Norm Lewis are the title role players in this new Broadway production. It is a Broadway. I mean, Audra, you've done things like this before, the Mahogany.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
The Kurt Weill, which sort of treads that same line.
Yes, the line is very blurry.
Yeah.
And, a lot of, when Porgy and Bess first opened, a lot of opera aficionados said, that's not opera.
Yeah.
And a lot of Broadway folks said, that's an opera, that's not Broadway.
Right.
And so I think it just kind of exists in its own world, and I think we're seeing more and more things like that. Nowadays, you look at something like Les Mis or Evita, what would you call that? Those are basically operatic form, but, with a pop sort of style.
Right.
The line has been blurred.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like because we're doing it 8 times a week,
with operas.
Yeah, no.
That doesn't happen with Wagner.
But lots of people are getting a chance to see this, where at opera you have a run of about 6 to 10 performances, and then that's it, and then maybe in 4 years they'll do it again.
Yeah.
So it's an opportunity, I think.
Well, let's hear another excerpt. Do you want to do I Loves You, Porgy?
Excerpt, okay.
Once again, Paul Massey's at the piano, Audra McDonald, Norm Lewis on soundcheck live from the green space.
Someday I know he coming back to call me. He gonna handle me and hold me so. It's gonna be like dying a porgy deep inside me. But when he calls, I know I have to go.
What you think I is anyway? stay with Poggy. You gonna stay. You got a home now, honey, and you got love. So no more crying. Can't you understand? You gonna go about your business singing. Cause you got Poggy. You got your
Audra McDonald, Norm Lewis, Paul Massey at the piano, I Love Zee Porgy from the Gershwins, Porgy and Bess, on soundcheck, live from the green space. That's a well-rehearsed audience, isn't it? I want to thank the two of you. I also want to, I mean, Audrey, you mentioned you're doing this 8 times a week. Thank you for fitting a ninth time in this week.
We warmed up for tonight's show. Yeah, exactly. We're good.
And
we're
Norm, doing this, he's a little under the weather, but you would never know it from the performance this afternoon. Thank you guys so much, and good luck with the rest of the run. The Gershwin's Porgy and Bess is at the Richard Rogers Theater on West 46th Street. And in just a moment, I will apologize to Sharon Van Etten for making her sing after what you've just heard.
Oh, no.
She and the band will unveil her new record called Tramp. That's coming up next. But here's just a little bit of an earlier recording that Audra McDonald did of Gershwin's Summertime with Michael Tilson Thomas and the San Francisco Symphony. You're listening to an encore edition of Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. A moment ago, we heard about the Gershwin's Porgy and Bess. Now we move from Broadway to Brooklyn. The career of local singer-songwriter Sharon Van Etten started picking up steam in 2010 with this album called Epic. It got the attention of critics and indie bands like Bon Iver and The National, both of which covered her music. This year, Sharon Van Etten followed up with her third album called Tramp, and she joined us in January to give us a sneak peek. Here's Sharon playing the song Give Out for our audience live in the green space. The song is called Give Out. That's Sharon Van Etten and the band live in the green space. You missed your cue. Let me introduce the rest of the band. Doug Keith on bass, Zeke Hutchins on drums, Heather Broderick was doing backing vocals and will play numerous other instruments, and of course Sharon Van Etten playing the guitar and singing. So Give Out, first of all, good to see you again.
Nice
good to have you back on Soundcheck.
Too. How are you?
Good. The new album's called Tramp. Having just talked about Porgy and Bess being a little bit of a loose woman, you know, tramp can have a couple of meanings. You don't mean that kind of tramp, do you?
It's a little tongue-in-cheek, I guess, but it was mostly from moving around a lot and also kind of admitting that I'm kind of a goofball, you know, like Chaplin or something. So kind of owning all of those sub-meanings, I guess.
I had forgotten about the tramp, the Chaplin. Yeah, of course. Now, that song, Give Out, you know, it has that recurring line, you're the reason I'll need to move to the city and why I'll need to leave. You know, were you doing a lot of moving around during the writing of these songs, the making of this record?
Yeah, for about 2 years I didn't have a permanent place to live. Kind of cliche New York musician, but, you know, we toured a lot and there was no point to pay New York rent when you're only home a week a month, you know?
Mm-hmm. So just...
good friends and
couches,
comfortable couches
and, yeah.
And visiting the parents more often than usual.
Where are they? The parents are in New Jersey, right?
Yeah, they're in New Jersey.
Okay. But you're now part of this burgeoning Brooklyn scene, working with members of The National. Aaron Dessner, the guitarist, helped you produce this record?
Yeah, he's been so amazing. He's helped me learn how to use pedals like a rock star. Not me, him, but... he's been so amazing to help me learn how to take these demos that were just guitar and vocal and help me learn how to
flesh them out.
Write instrumentation.
Yeah. Let's hear another one. You want to do Leonard?
I would love to.
All right. It's Sharon Van Etten and the band live from the green space.
There he goes. He finally closed the door. I turned the lock, feeling more confused than before. What gives? I thought that you fall in. Try.
That was Sharon Van Etten performing the song Leonard from her latest album Tramp in the Green Space, our street-level performance venue here at WNYC. By the way, you can watch video of that performance. Just go to the soundcheck page, wnyc.org/soundcheck. And stay tuned. More music from Sharon Van Etten from the Green Space is coming up. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck. More now with Sharon Van Etten. She joined us in the Green Space earlier this year, just before the release of her latest album, Tramp. And when she did, she played one of my favorites from the record, a song called Serpents. Once again, Sharon Van Etten and the band, and Serpents is the name of the song. And on that song, Heather Broderick switched off to bass, and Doug Keith picked up guitar. They're both switching back. Sharon's still playing guitar and singing, and Zee Cutchins still behind the drum kit, playing live at the Green Space. So, Sharon, you were talking before about, you know, spending a couple of years between these two records with kind of like no fixed abode,
right.
You know, sleeping here and there, couches, friends' couches, an occasional sublet and stuff, while you were doing so much touring. I see that you have like a huge spring tour planned. So, lesson learned or not really?
No. I just can't stop, you know. I like writing, I like playing, and I feel like now's not the time to slow down. You know?
How did this happen? I mean, how did you first get into the music industry? It wasn't as a performer, was it?
I ended up getting a job as an intern at Bada Bing Records in Brooklyn and learned my way around with the help of Ben Goldberg and my friend Alicia.
Mm-hmm. And when you say, you know, you got a gig there, you mean like sending out press releases, that sort of thing?
Door to door, played guitar, you know, just like, what do you think? Give me some tips. No, just kidding. I started as an intern and started doing mail orders and researching blogs. I didn't even know what a music blog was when I started working there. But I learned how the... I followed my friend who was more of a publicist for Ben at Bada mm-hmm. Bing, and I slowly was learning how to do that.
It's an odd trajectory to go from publicizing music to actually write. When did you realize that, first of all, that you could sing like that and that you had, you know, this songwriting ability?
Well, when I was little, my mom let me dress up and dance in the living room with my sisters, and we just sang, like, to Del Shannon or Leslie Gore and stuff like that, and she never told me to stop.
Well, good for mom. So the album Tramp is, this will be your third full-length release.
Correct.
And then the spring tour takes you here and there, but you now have a fixed address, right? You finally settled
yes,
down.
Yes, I have a home. I live in Ditmas Park now. I live on the top floor of a house.
Very nice. So you're in the same neighborhood as the guys from The National, mostly.
Yes.
Aaron Dessner, who helped with the record, Bryce Dessner, who's on the record.
Yes.
There's like a whole community out there now.
Yeah, there really, really is. So supportive, super friendly, like a real neighborhood.
All right, good. Glad to hear that you now have a place to get your mail. And where aspiring Sharon Van Ettens can send their pitches and their
I love postcards.
PR releases. Let's hear another song. You want to do Ask?
Yes.
Once again, it's Sharon Van Etten on Soundcheck, live from the Green Space.
Too much to ask.
Ask is the name of the song from the album Tramp by Sharon Van Etten. She and the band performing on Soundcheck live from the Green Space. And somewhere around 4 or 5, I lost track of the number of different instruments you have Heather playing on this stage here, just in this brief. Whose band is this, really?
I don't know anymore. I don't know.
What is that like, going from, you know, solo kind of do-it-yourself to, you know, being responsible for 3 other human beings when
That's
you're out
terrifying.
On the road?
It's the beginning steps to realize whether or not you can be a parent. I'm not a leader, but I have a great, great team, so we all kind of do our thing and have great suggestions and work really, they're great people to work with.
Well, you guys sounded great here with us on the stage here at the Green Space today. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you so much.
No, thank you.
The album is called Tramp, a little bit of it in the background. Once again, Sharon Van Etten on Soundcheck, live in the Green Space. Going to do it for Soundcheck today. We had a lot of help for this special Green Space edition of the program. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. We had engineering assistance from George Wellington and Chase Copan. Our producers are Katie Bishop and Greta Cohn with Brett Jaspers, and our interns Rachel Smith and Chris Nolan. Our senior producer is Joel Meyer. Thanks to Indira Etwaru and the entire Green Space team. I'm John Schaefer. Be with us again tomorrow for another Soundcheck.